Well, this evening we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 12, book of Revelation chapter 12, and we'll be focusing on verses 7 through 12, but I will go ahead and read the whole chapter. So Revelation chapter 12, we will focus on verses 7 to 12, but we'll read the whole chapter. This is God's word. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, where she is to be nourished for 1260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea." And after having read God's word, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you that we can come to you tonight, that we can hear your word, that we can sing together, that we can pray together, that we can take of the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. Lord, I pray that you would be here, you would be present, that your Holy Spirit would be at work. Lord, give me the words to say, help me to speak the truth. And I pray that you would also be at work in all here who are listening, that you would be at work in their hearts. Lord, that for any here who do not yet know you, that you would be at work, that you would be drawing them to yourself. And Lord, for those who do know you, that you would be encouraging them and challenging them and strengthening them through the preaching of your word and the singing and praying as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I should have given a little bit of context before we read, but I'll give a little, try to give a little bit of context now. And the book of Revelation is a big book and is, in many people's minds, I think myself included, is a somewhat complicated book, at least in some ways. But really, chapter 12 here of Revelation is very central to the book of Revelation and really very central to the story of the Bible as a whole. And really, Revelation 12 is a picture of God's plan of redemption, his plan of saving his people. And the first six verses of Revelation 12 give this story of the dragon and the woman, and it's kind of giving the story from the perspective of Earth, whereas verses 7 to 12 are really the same story with a few additional details, but from the perspective of heaven. And then verses 13 to the end of chapter 12 kind of say what happened next, what happened after this great war and the attempt of the dragon to devour the seed of the woman. But as I said before, we'll be focusing on verses 7 through 12 here. And as we look at these verses that I've just read, I wonder, do you feel discouraged? Do you feel beat down right now in your life? Do you feel tired? Do you now or sometimes feel even like escaping, like giving up? I know that I often have felt this way. And certainly during the time of the past few months of social distancing and isolation, even though some of the restrictions have been loosened, it's been certainly a challenging time for me and my family, and I'm sure for many of you here as well. And right now, there's also this great disunity and turmoil in this country, in particular over these issues of George Floyd's death, of racism, of perceived police brutality. And Satan is using this time for discouragement, for disunity, for fear, and for distrust. But God is all-powerful, and God is in control, and God is even using this time for His glory and for the good of His children, the church. Do you believe that to be true? And have you thought about that reality, that God uses everything for His glory as well as for the good of His people? That reality is one that floors me, that promise that God cares for us and works everything out for the good of His people, and that He's using even these things, everything that goes on in this world for our good as well as for His glory. It's one that I often remember and am thankful for. And in the midst of our lives, and particularly when we're dealing with hardships, perhaps when we think, God, why is this happening, when we're feeling discouraged, the book of Revelation is a wonderful book to go to. The book of Revelation is written to encourage the church, to encourage God's people to trust in God and to trust in His plan. And here in Revelation 12, as I said, we see God's story. We see the story of good overcoming evil. The story of, as one commentator put it, slays dragon, gets girl. And in this life, there are often times where we don't see God's purposes. We don't see the conclusion. We don't see the reason, the rationale of why certain things are happening. In many cases, we will never know these things in this life. But here, in this book, in this chapter, we see God's ultimate purposes. We see pictured the conclusion of the story. We see God's plan written out. And we see that though He still fights, Satan has been defeated through the gospel, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we see the hope that we have both in this life and for eternity. So my main point here as we look at Revelation 12 is rejoice, church, for Satan has been defeated by the blood of the Lamb. Again, rejoice, for Satan has been defeated by the blood of the Lamb. And as we go through this text, I want to focus on what God has done in the past, what God is doing now, and what God has promised for the future, so that the past, present, and future hope that we can have as we look at this passage. So first, as we think about God's past work, so we think about what God has done, rejoice, church, for it was God's plan from eternity to defeat Satan through His Son's death. And let me read again verses 11 and 12, or sorry, 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. And we see here in these verses, we see the story of Satan's fall from heaven, his defeat by Jesus Christ, by his death, by the blood of the Lamb. And this is a story which we see first mentioned in the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God says that the seed of the serpent will crush the heel of the seed of the woman. The serpent's seed is going to crush Christ, Christ's heel. But Christ, the seed of the woman, will crush the head of the serpent. God planned this from eternity. And this is what happened by the blood of the Lamb, by the death and resurrection of Christ, that Satan and sin and death were defeated. So for those of you who trust in Christ, this is a reason to rejoice. As Romans 8, the first four verses, says this, "For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, because Christ has defeated Satan. Christ has taken the penalty that we deserve. However, if there are those of you here present or watching this evening, and if you have not put your hope, your trust in the Lamb, in Jesus Christ, you have no hope. If you are not one of God's children, that means that God is not using all things for your good. You do not have hope right now, and you certainly do not have hope for the future. And you can't be on the fence about this. You either love God or you hate God. There's only two options. And perhaps you don't like to think about it, but all of us will die one day. And what will happen when you die? There's only two options again. You either spend eternity in heaven with God, or you will spend eternity in hell. So I pray, if you have not already, that you will wrestle with this reality, and that God will work in you through the Holy Spirit to change your heart, to save your soul. And we see, as I said, this plan of God's salvation throughout scriptures, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. This whole story, what we have here in the Bible, is about Jesus Christ, about how he came to earth to do what we could not do, to live a perfect life, and how he died for us, how he became sin for us in order that we could have his righteousness, that we could have a relationship with him and be saved from sin and misery and damnation. And is it not wonderful what God has done, that he has chosen a people for himself, that he has saved me and you who trust in him, and that you have a hope for eternity and also a hope for this life as well. In a sense, what we have here, this drama, this fight between Satan and the church, between good and evil, it's kind of like a courtroom drama. Verse 11 talks about we have overcome or conquered Satan's accusations through Christ's death. And through Christ's death, we are judicially declared and made guiltless. So you know how in a courtroom, an attorney, if he wants to, can object to something that is being said, and then if the judge rules that that objection is sustained, then whatever happened must stop. He can't keep bringing that up. Says sustained, you need to stop. And essentially, Satan, as he continues accusing God's people, the objection against his accusations has been sustained by God, the true judge. And Satan has no grounds to continue to accuse you who are God's children, even though he continues to try. And really, the judge has, in a sense, called him out of order, but he doesn't care. He hates God. He hates God's people. He hates people in general, and he still fights. He knows that his time is short, and he knows where he is going. And vengefully, he wants to take as many with him as he can to hell. But in this present time, we can rejoice. Rejoice, for while Satan still fights, Christ and his people have conquered him. And I want to read again verse 9 as well as verse 12. And that great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And actually, in verse 10 is where he's called the accuser of our brothers, and he's been thrown down. And then in verse 12, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Satan is called in these verses the deceiver and the accuser. And we see him as deceiver and accuser throughout God's word and even in our own lives. We see, for example, in the book of Job, where he accuses Job of only being faithful because God has blessed him, God has given him good things. And we also, he is called the deceiver, the father of lies, in the book of John. And Satan is active here today in this world where we live. But God upholds you in this time of turmoil while Satan still prowls. And that verse in 1 Peter about Satan prowling, it also includes a great promise for us, for our daily lives. I want to read it. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10 says this, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So Satan still prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But God has promised that after a little while, after this suffering, we will be with him in his eternal glory in heaven, and he will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. Satan has been conquered. He has been conquered by the blood of the Lamb, by Christ's blood, his death, and his resurrection. That is what defeated Satan. And as tonight, as we later partake of the Lord's Supper, think about that as you partake of communion, that this is the body and blood of Christ, which was sacrificed for you. That Christ did this. Christ poured out his blood. Christ gave up his life. He became sin for you. And in doing that, Satan was defeated. And as you partake of the Lord's Supper, also consider that, think about the way that Christ was declared guilty by the world by when he went on the cross, as well as being declared guilty by Satan. That declaration, which wasn't a true declaration, maybe a declaration from the world, was overturned when Jesus rose from the dead. And for us who are in him, who are in Christ, our declaration of guilt, which was a real, a true, and legal declaration of guilt, not like Jesus, who was the only innocent man who ever lived, but at the same time, through Christ's resurrection, through his defeat of Satan, our guilt is also overturned. Our declaration of guilt is overturned. But it's also interesting that we have here, we have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of their testimony. So you and the saints who have gone before you have testified to God's work in your life and persevered in your faith with the Holy Spirit's help, and Satan does not like that. And as we think of the testimony, I mentioned Job earlier. Think about Job's testimony. He was accused. He was falsely accused. He was persecuted horrifically. Yet he persevered in his faith. Consider his testimony. Consider the testimony of other examples in Scripture, like in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews, or other examples of people that you know who, despite difficulties, persevered in their faith. And for you, be encouraged, be strengthened, and praise God that you, for whom Christ died, you are part of this testimony. Your testimony is a part of that, is the evidence that Satan has been conquered. And as we think of Satan, we think of his continual accusing, his deceiving, his fighting, even though he has already lost and he knows it. It makes me think of there were a few Japanese soldiers who, after World War II and after Japan had surrendered, they continued fighting hidden in the jungles for decades. There was one who was discovered in Guam in 1972. He actually knew that Japan had surrendered by 1952, but he remained in hiding because he thought it would be better than being captured alive. There was another soldier, Japanese soldier in the Philippines, who didn't believe that the war was over. And he continued fighting for decades in guerrilla warfare, hurting and even killing people, destroying their food and other necessities. And he did this until 1974, when he was finally discovered by a Japanese tourist. He still didn't believe him that the war was over. So then his commander flew from Japan, his former commander, who had been out of the military for decades. He flew in to the Philippines to tell this soldier that the war was over and to officially relieve him of duty. And Satan, in a sense, is kind of like a combination of these two. He knows that the war is over, but he continues to fight. And that is where we live right now. The war has been won, but battles are still raging. Satan and his minions are continuing to fight. But as we look to the future, we can rejoice. So rejoice, church, for Satan will be completely destroyed, and you will spend eternity with the Lamb. And let me read once again verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. So we for whom Christ died, for whom he became sin, that we might have his righteousness, we do have heaven to look forward to. And even more than heaven, we have the promise of the new heaven and the new earth. When Christ returns, when he casts Satan and his angels into hell, and when he creates a new perfect heaven and earth where we can dwell for eternity with him in our perfected physical bodies. And there, even though we'll be perfect, we'll still continue to learn more about God each day, and we will spend all our time with him and with his church. And verse 12 just hints as that, as it tells the heavens and those who dwell in them to rejoice. And as we think of eternity with Christ, we often tend to only think about heaven, which heaven is certainly going to be a wonderful place, and we very much have that to look forward to. But God promises that when Jesus comes to return to earth, to judge the world, to separate the sheep, his children, from the goats, those who are not his children, that God will give us this new heaven and new earth to dwell in, where our souls again will be united with our physical bodies, our perfected physical bodies, and we will live in a new and perfected world. We see a fuller picture of that new heaven and that new earth later in Revelation, and I want to read part of Revelation 21, because it says it better than I could and I ever could. So I want to look at Revelation 21. I'll read the first 8 verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." And then look a few verses down at verse 22 through the end. "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need for the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." This picture of the new heavens and the new earth, that we will be with God, that he will be with his people, that we won't have need of the sun because he will be shining. God will be, the glory of God will be giving us light to see. And there will be no pain, no suffering, no death, no weeping any longer. This is going to be glorious. And even now, tonight, as we worship God corporately, there's a sense in which we are preparing for heaven here and ultimately preparing for this new heaven and new earth. We are preparing for the time for the things that we will be doing there as we worship God corporately in heaven. So as we worship God corporately here tonight, praise him for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. Do that here this evening even. And as we conclude, as we finish up here tonight, and as I've just read this picture, this vision of the new heaven and the new earth, think about the most beautiful place that you've ever been. So really think about it. Try to picture it. Remember it. For me, as I thought about that, there are a few places that stand out. Bryce Canyon and Zion National Park in Utah, these places you go into them and you see just the majesty of God's creation. You see the beauty of the things he has made. And Yosemite is another one, Yosemite out in California. Once you drive into that valley, and you get past like the tree line, and you can see this massive waterfall. You can see these huge cliffs on either side that stretch for miles and miles. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's wonderful. But these places, and whatever places you thought of, they are still affected by sin. When we visit these places, we can still hurt ourselves or even die, as some have. We could be robbed or attacked while there. There are natural disasters that occur there. There are wildfires that have happened. Now imagine the beauty and the perfection of the new heaven and the new earth. This will be a place that is wondrous to all of our senses. And it's also a place that will be perfect, not affected by sin in the least. And we will be there with our God. We will be there with his bride, the church. It's going to be magnificent. And maybe as I read these verses from Revelation 21, maybe you wondered why I read the last verse of each of these passages. It talks about those who are not going to be in the new heaven and the new earth. It also stands as a warning that not all will experience this. The enemies of the woman, the church, and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will not only miss out on the glory of heaven, the glory of the new heaven and the new earth, they will experience destruction. And I think it's interesting that these beautiful, wonderful descriptions of heaven still have, that they're contrasted rather with Satan and hell and God's enemies. And I think God uses this, at least partially, to remind us of his justice, as well as to call sinners who are on the path to hell to repent, to turn to him, to turn to Christ and to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with their heart that God has raised him from the dead, and then they can be saved. And you, if you are in that place, you can be saved. You will be saved. And for all of you hearing this now, remember what God has done for you, what God has done in the past in defeating Satan by the blood of the Lamb. And keep in mind that now, though Satan still fights, he has been conquered. He has been defeated. And God sustains you and is with you and cares for you. And he gives you joy and hope in this time of turmoil. And then, lastly, look forward to Satan's ultimate destruction. Look forward to the new heaven and the new earth where you will be perfected and spend all of eternity with the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So again, rejoice, for Satan has been defeated by the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, these are wonderful truths and promises. Lord, a wonderful promise for what is to come even, for what we are able to look forward to as your people. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus, Lord, to die for our sins, and that by his death, by his blood, by his resurrection from the dead, that Satan was defeated. But Lord, help us in our daily lives as we still deal, as we live in this world, as we deal with the world affected by sin. Lord, help us to look to you. Help us to be heavenly minded here on this earth. Be working in us, be sanctifying us. And Lord, again, for any here listening now who do not know you, do not trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, I pray that you would convict them, Lord, of their sin, of their need to repent and turn to you and confess the name of Jesus. I pray that they would do that, that you would be at work in their hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, be with us now the rest of this evening, the rest of this worship service as we partake of the Lord's Supper, Lord, remembering what you have done for us in Christ's death and resurrection. Help us, Lord, not to take that lightly. And help us, Lord, to live our lives for your glory out of just praise and thanksgiving for what you have done for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we close,